If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. We're going to go right into the Word. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. This is the day you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We honor you. We worship you tonight. We thank you for your presence that we sense and experience and are experiencing right now. We thank you that you have not come to just entertain us, but you've come to touch us, to change us, to build us up, to free us, to heal us. I thank you, Father God. Whatever is needed in this moment, by faith, I ask you to touch your people tonight. Not only during the worship and prayer, but even as the word is going forth. I thank you because your word says signs and wonders follows your word. And as we believe to receive, I thank you, Father God. There'll be people receiving healing as they listen to the word. There'll be people getting God ideas as they listen to the word. There'll be people being free from addictions and drug addictions as they listen to the word. I thank you, Father God. Marriages are being restored. Inheritances are being received in the name of Jesus as the word goes forth. Father, I thank you. I change your heart as the word goes forth. I thank you, whatever it may be, whatever the need, you are more than enough. And we dare to be bold enough to believe it and to speak it and say tonight, Father God, we are looking for you to touch your people in whatever area they need. And we give you praise. We give you glory. And at the end of the story, you will get all the credit. You will get all the praise. And we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe you can do it, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, I'm telling you, God can touch you right where you're at. No one even around you. Do you believe it? I mean, you might be listening to all of a sudden God give you a Holy Ghost idea on something you need to do at work or invention or problem solving or whatever it might be. You be open for God, amen, to minister to you right where you're at. Too many times we kind of change gears and we'll say, okay, that was worship, change gears, now I got to listen, change gears. No. Worship is the flow of the whole thing. Worship is the flow of the whole thing. When you worship, when you're singing, that's worship. When you're looking at the word, that's worship. When you're giving, that's worship. When you're encouraging people, that's worship. Are you with me? So stay in the flow. Stay. It's like being a surfer riding a wave. You know what I mean? You just don't get off halfway. You want to ride it all the way in as long as it'll take you. So let's just be open for God to keep ministering. Amen? If you have your Bible, it should be at Matthew 13. We've been doing a series on God makes all things new. I want to keep digging in this because faith comes by hearing, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at in life, we need the freshness of God, the newness of God in our lives, in some area of our lives. Sometimes it's, I need a new chapter. I need a new season. I need a refreshness where I feel, David said it this way in the Bible, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, sometimes even good things, if we don't handle them correctly over time, become common, and we need that freshness. We need that excitement restored. We need that joy restored. We need that love for God to be restored, or maybe a love for somebody else, or a desire to do what God's called us to do, or pursue your career, or whatever it might be. We need God to do it. We saw in Revelation 21:5, where the Bible says, God says, I make all things new. God can make and bring newness into anyone's life, in any area of your life. You're not excluded. You're not, and no area is a limitation where you say, okay, God, you can't do it here. If you open up, if you believe, according to your faith, amen. So in your marriage, absolutely. In your finances, absolutely. In your health, absolutely. In your thought process, absolutely. But Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I've done some things, and in my mind, I can't get these images. Well, aren't you glad that the Bible says that the blood of Jesus purges your evil conscience of dead works that you may serve the living God, which literally means that the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood, the redemptive power of God can cut the very remembrance of who you used to be. So you don't wake up seeing yourself as a sinner that's barely saved by grace. No. You see yourself as more than a conqueror. You see yourself as a child of God. Can I get an amen? You see yourself like 2 Corinthians tells us, chapter 5, verse 17, that you are in Christ, a new creature. Behold, all things are new. Some of us got saved, but we didn't know about that new thing. So we've been carrying around the old thing. not knowing that there was a new thing available to us. We carry around the old lifestyle or the old way of thinking or the old way of dealing with problems and our old attitude of, well, I've always been that way. My mom was that way. We get angry, get upset, someone tick us off. We just kind of say stuff, we don't mean it. Well, that's the old person. Are you with me? That's the old person. In Christ, you can become a new, that attitude can be changed. How many people know someone with that need an attitude adjustment? Come on, don't point at them right now tonight. Maybe somebody at your job today you're dealing with, you're like, man, I don't know what the problem is. Well, I'm glad that God can make all things new, 2 Corinthians 5. Well, Romans tells us in Romans 6, verse 4, that it's when we're connecting to what Jesus did, just as Jesus was crucified and was buried and was resurrected by the glory of God, so are we when we're getting saved and we're experiencing that conversion. We can walk, and which means we can live, we can have in our life a newness of life. Say newness.
Newness.
Come on, say newness.
Newness.
I mean, we ought to pray on a regular basis. Father, I just thank you for the newness today. Father, let's just do that right now. Father, we just thank you. We're going to stop right now. We thank you for newness of life. We thank you for the freshness of your life. We thank you for your life that will cause us to live a greater life than what we've been living, what we've seen other people live. We're not here to survive. We're not here just to pay bills and go through a routine, but I thank you for newness. Come on, people, lift your hand and begin to thank him for it. Father, we ask you and we thank you. Mark 11, 23, 24, we believe we receive your newness in our lives, whatever it might be, whatever area it might be. I'm serious about this. We can't play games. You play games long enough, you'll get nowhere. Father, we thank you for your newness in our life. Whatever area you need newness right now, you begin to ask him for it and believe that you receive, which means you begin to thank him for it. It might be your finances. It might be your marriage. It might be your thought process. It might be your health. Father, I thank you for a new chapter. A new season. Hallelujah. There it is. A new season. Some of us don't need a page turn. We need a whole book turn. A new season in our life. I thank you, Father God. We just speak that out. We believe that we receive it. For God, you can do all things. All things are possible through you. And behold, you make all things new according to your word. So we thank you, Father God. Your word says your eyes of the Lord roam throughout the whole earth, looking to whom you can show yourself strong. We believe, we receive. We lift our hands and say, thank you, Father God, for a new season. Our old seasons don't have to stay. We are choosing to believe and receive that you are bringing us in to a new season. It might be a new, fresh anointing. It might be fresh opportunities. It might be fresh relationships. Whatever it might be. Father, thank you for that new season. Thank you for that new season. Thank you that we're not tied down, chained down, and imprisoned by the old season. Thank you for that new season. And any season that's a prison to anyone here tonight, I thank you whom the Son has set free is free indeed, is free indeed. All chains are broken. Hallelujah. I thank you the door is open. Hallelujah. Just like you did, Father God, in the book of Acts, you opened the prison doors and they walked out. They come to the door, it opened up. I thank you, Father God, for your people tonight, that as they walk through life, as they come to a door, they might think, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with that? How am I going to get there? But I thank you that as they approach, the door would be open. The opportunity be revealed in the name of Jesus. And if you believe you receive it, just shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand, clap and praise. I'm telling you, you're going to come on Wednesday night. We got to do something. We're not here to play a game.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. So we're talking about the newness. God wants us to walk and pursue in the newness. And the best way, in my opinion, I'll say it this way, the best way to begin to, because you can start wondering and questioning, what's my new season? And then if you're not careful, if you don't know, you'll start guessing. You'll start creating. You'll start copying. When you start guessing, when you start creating, when you start copying, you'll 9 out of 10 times go the wrong direction. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run the race that God sets before you. See, your Heavenly Father knows the plans he has for you, Jeremiah 33 tells us. Your Heavenly Father knows the plans he has for you, so he knows the next leg of your race. He knows that next journey, that next, it might not be a lifelong journey. It might be a detour journey, amen? It might be a seasonal, our next season, you're going to do this. But don't worry, but that's not the end of it, because that's going to take you to this place, and then that's going to position you for the next season, and that's going to position you to the next season. Come on, somebody. Some of you found God do that in your work. You're like, well, I'll take that job, and God opened the door, and you're like, I don't know why, but that positioned you for the next job or the next position and the next raise, and as you continue to obey God, you'll look back and say, I can see why God had me go this way. I did not know all along that that was going to connect to that, and that dot's going to connect to that dot, and that dot's going to lead me to this dot, and all of a sudden it brings me right to the right path. This whole time I thought I had to go left and then right, and God said, go this way and then work around. Israel walked around the promised land for 40 years. Just because you're close to it doesn't mean you're going to get in it. Just because you're walking around it doesn't mean you're going to be in it. But with God, he can walk you and direct you right into it. Amen? I'm saying God can show you what to do. And the best way to do is not to guess, not to create, not to copy. The best way is literally to catch it. Catch the vision of what God wants you to do. Catch that season. Let him awaken you to that next thing that you need to do. Like we saw in Elisha. Elisha was working, and when he experienced God, it awakened him to something that he did not have, that he could have, that was paid for in Jesus. Now, but you could say, well, Jesus wasn't around, but it was still within the plan of God. And if you want to get real technical, in the beginning, John 1:1, and the time was past, was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was years later the Word became flesh, but the Word did not start to exist when the birth of Jesus. Jesus always existed. He was a part of the Trinity. Amen. Just for those of you who are arguing with me in your mind. And so as we see this, we process that Elisha was awakened. We talked about how God will, by his presence and his Holy Spirit, will awaken you to the absence of something. He'll awaken you. The awareness of an absence is the beginning of a desire. The awareness of an absence is the beginning of a desire. The awareness of an absence, which means God will awaken your attention, your radar, so that you see there's something in my life that I don't have, that I could have, that God's provided for me. See, you can spend your whole life in church, love Jesus, go to heaven, but if you never hear the Word of God taught about healing, then you won't believe that God can heal. And though healing is provided by the cross and by the stripes of Jesus, by his stripes you were healed. It's part of covenant of salvation. The Greek word sozo or soterior encompasses healing. But if you don't know, you're not aware. If you're not aware, then you can't receive it. Yeah. Same way as the gospel. The Bible says, how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? See, God has a way of awakening you to what is not in your life that could be in your life that he's paid for. That's what salvation is, isn't it? Someone's awakened to the idea that I could be saved, and Jesus already paid for it. So now I just need to receive it. So we need to catch. If you're going to pursue the next season that God has for you, you can't copy it. Say, I'm not going to copy it. I'm not going to create it. That means that don't use your imagination to make believe, to say, well, wouldn't it be nice? And that we're not going to kind of create it. We're not going to copy it, which means you're looking at somebody else's life. I'm going to do what they are doing. No, we're going to catch it. See, I'm going to catch it. How do you catch it? That means you start focusing on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the author. Did you catch that? Looking unto Jesus, the author. Say, he's my author. Do you know what an author is? It's someone who originates the thought. It's someone who originates the thought. They wrote the book. They're the author. Who's the originator of the thought? See, I don't need to come get somebody else to tell me what the thought is. I need to find out from God what the thought is. I need him to reveal to me. Well, I just got saved. I don't know if I can. Well, wait a minute. You're still a born-again Christian, and it might be all new to you, but you can catch the vision from God. God can speak to you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of another. You might not totally understand it, but I'm saying you just keep pursuing God. You keep looking unto Jesus, which means you keep spending time in his word. You keep spending time in his presence. Can I get an amen? You keep obeying him, living, abide in me, and my words abide in you. Are you with me? You keep developing that relationship with Jesus. And I'm telling you, you'll have those moments that he will awaken you to what can be. See, God knows the end, the Bible says, as equally as he does the beginning. Because he's everywhere. He's not limited to your time frame. So he knows the end. He knows where you're going. See, he's the one that can look at Abraham and say, I know you now as a father before he had any children, because God sees the end from the beginning. And God will begin to awaken you to your direction. It doesn't mean you have to be in ministry. He might awaken you that you're going to be the top salesman next year, or salesperson, excuse me. He might awaken to you that one day you're going to own 3 businesses. You're like, I'm just trying to figure out how to balance my own checking account. I don't feel like I can run it. Well, you're not there yet, but you will be if you begin to pursue. Did you hear me? It's not a matter of, I caught the vision, I'm going to the ministry. God told me, I'm going to be a prophet, or I'm going to be a pastor, or I'm going to be a teacher. Woohoo! God's anointing me. Okay, what are you doing now? I'm waiting for my opportunity. You're not getting your opportunity. Boy, it got quiet. We think we're anointed, we should get the opportunity. Not so. David was anointed, and they sent him back out with the sheep. David was anointed, and his father sent him on a service. You know, we can catch such grandeur things in the direction of God, and sometimes we can allow it to affect our ego, and we stop serving. Look at Joseph. Woo, look what, look what our dad got me. Did he get you anything? It went to his head, did it not? He didn't know how to serve. He was into, you serve me. And when he had a dream about them bowing down, he was first, you know what, he woke up and said, oh, I got to tell them. It's like, do you really think that they're going to like that? He had to tell them, I had a dream and you all were serving me. See, when you first catch it, if you don't handle it correctly, you think that everybody's got to start serving you. Oh, don't shout me down. Because at the end of the day, there is no hierarchy in the kingdom of God in the context of you're more important than me and I'm more important than you. No, no, no. We are all servants of the Most High God. Amen. If you think that your success makes you where you don't have to serve, I don't care if you're a vice president. I don't care if you're a president of a bank. You still need to serve. I don't care. Well, I'm important. If you're so important, start serving. Jesus said, the greatest among you, let him be. Well, we don't want to talk about that, do we? Do you know if David had an attitude of, I'm anointed to be king, and I don't know what these people's problem is. My dad invited me late to the party. If it wasn't for the prophet asking for me, I bet I wouldn't get an invitation at all. Probably true. And then they send me out to these sheep. What's up with that? Probably true. And Jesse one day calls David. David, I want you to take food to the brothers. I don't like them, Dad. I'm the next king. They should be bringing me food. He would have missed. Are you listening? His practical service, even though he was anointed for greatness, his service positioned him for an opportunity. Do you know why a lot of people have great potential, never reach it? Because they're not willing to work for it. They're too good for it. They become too good for the journey. Did you hear me? Don't shout me down. Maybe we need. I thought I was talking to the choir, so I expected a little better response on Wednesday night. Now, if it's Sunday morning, I could see someone get quiet. But you guys, come on, somebody. Help me out here. No, don't give me a fake hallelujah. That's not going to help me at all. I'm teasing you, though, by the way. Because when we catch what God has for us, it can be so overwhelming. Sometimes we can be intimidated by it, and sometimes we can be inflated by it. But the reality is, without God, we can't do anything. So what do? We start serving. What did Elisha do? He began to pursue Elijah and begin to serve. He could have said, now, Elijah, tell me again, what did God say? God told me to anoint you to be the next prophet. Okay, hit me with it. I'm ready for this. I'm tired of those stinky. I've been on the backside of an oxen, two oxens plowing that field. Do you know how gross that is? I'm dealing with the heat of the day. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm sweating. And all I get to focus on is the backside of two oxen. And you know what they're doing half that time? And I get that stuff on my feet. I'm tired of cleaning my shoes at night. Yes. I'm ready to be that prophet. That seems like a pretty good gig. That sounds pretty easy. I think I'll try that. Go ahead. Anoint me. That's not how it worked, did it? See, a lot of us get the grandeur, catching the grandeur vision of what God has for us. You know what we want to do? We want to step right into it. But God will show you the end from the beginning and then start you on the journey. And some of us have been sitting here waiting, God, why haven't you dropped in my lap? God said, I'm not dropping your lap. I showed you where you're going. Now I want you to start depending on me. Let's start serving. Let's start pursuing. Let's start moving forward. Because God wants to develop in you so you can handle where he's taking you. Did you hear me? Joseph couldn't handle the position where God was taking him by his dream. He caught a vision of where, and did that vision come true? Talk to me. Absolutely. There was a time in his future where his brothers kneeled before him. So the vision was true, but the vision, he was not ready for the vision. He had to walk through a process. Now, God didn't really want him, I don't believe, to go through prison. But he learned how to not only serve, but he learned so that he was at the point when he was able to handle the completion of that journey. It didn't go to his head. He was like, come on, brothers, get up. Before, he was looking for them. Kneel, kneel, kneel. When they did kneel, he was like, come on, get up. We're all brothers. Before, he was looking to be arrogant. He was looking to be prideful. He was looking to be narcissistically better. Let's be real. He was looking for them to submit to him. But when he got there, he was like, no, 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 you stand up. We're all brothers. And what you meant for evil, I'm not even holding against you. God turned it for good. Before, he would have been mad. I bet there was times that he was mad. And say, if I ever get a chance, I'll get even. But by the time he got there, he's like, no, no, I don't even hold anything against you. Why? He changed on the inside. He grew on the inside. Not just height and stature or weight or whatever. He grew in his character so he could handle it. God wants us to grow in the nature of Christ, in the character. Don't shut me down. And so we have to be willing to serve. Oh, I got great dreams. I want you to have great dreams, but I want you to catch the dreams that God has for you. They'll even be greater. But when you catch them, notice that then God says, let's begin. What do I need to do? Let's start serving. But that's not, God called me to do this. I know I'm not serving down here. Maybe you need to serve down there. Maybe you need to do that. That seems beneath me. It wasn't beneath David to bring food. And it was his natural service. See, sometimes we're like, I'm so annoying, I can pray for people to get healed. Praise God. Well, Pastor, you're going to give me the platform so I can pray for people? Absolutely not. Well, what's wrong? God's anointing me. I know. Get out there in the field, start praying for people. No, 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 I don't want to do that. I want to do it here. I should do it on the platform. That's not going to happen. Sometimes we think that this is the end all of you. I mean, oh, I'm just going to build my career. No, 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 no. You start serving. You start serving, it'll develop an attitude. I don't know who that's for. I think it's for all of us. We got to remember that at the end of the day, quit drinking your own Kool-Aid. Quit reading your own press releases. Come on, somebody. Quit reading your own marketing. And start, God's called you. You're great. You're wonderful. But sometimes we think we're better than obedience. And obedience is better than anything else. And so as we begin to pursue, are you still with me? As we begin to pursue, there's going to be obstacles because the devil doesn't want you to finish that journey. I like to say, and I draw out of Matthew 13, three phases that you're going to go through for you to reach that destination. And each one, though uniquely different, they build on each other. It's like bricks in a wall. When you get done with one phase, it doesn't mean that you never have to deal with it or that you can forget it. Did you hear me? Matthew 13. Jesus just told the parable of the sower. We've gone over this. We're going to go over it again. It's important. He tells it, and they ask him, why are you talking in parables? Notice in verse 11, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. See, God has information from heaven for you, but it's not for everybody. Not everybody can handle it. Not everybody wants it. Not everybody can receive it. This is the NIV translation. In verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. Hearing, but not understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. They can see it, but they just don't get it. You know, there's people that looked at Jesus and just did not get it. I can talk today and hear from God and speak exactly what you need to hear. and you not get it. I preach messages. And in that message, I'll have a rabbit trail, whatever you want to call it. And I just knew it was God directing me. And I would speak it out, not knowing who it's for. And later in that day, someone called and asking me, and they were in the service, and they said, "Pastor, I got this problem." And they tell me the problem, and I already knew the solution because I said the solution to them in the service. But they didn't hear it in the service because all they could see is the problem they're dealing with. They heard it, but they didn't get it. Jesus talks about in this process that the word is going forth. The word of God's going forth. And some seeds falls on the wayside or the side of the road. It's referring to those who hear it, but they don't get it. They don't understand it. And the enemy comes in, the Bible says, and steals it so that they can't remember it. Let me read verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, see, if they don't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the earth. That was verse 19. We talked about priorities. Say priorities. What's important to you? What's valuable? See, if a problem becomes more important, you won't hear the solution. If your agenda becomes more important, you'll miss God. What's the most important? People can sit in church and they can, in their mind, say, "Man, I'm just not really into this, and that's not my thing today. And what am I going to do when I get home? And who's going to win the Super Bowl? And did they really deflate those footballs? And I just wonder if that was, you know, I mean, how could they cheat?" And you can have 1,000 things bidding for your attention, but you got to see what's important to you. If something's not of value, you will not handle it correctly. It doesn't matter if it's the word of God. It doesn't matter if it's your career. It doesn't matter if it's your relationships. If that spouse is not important, if you lost value with it, you won't treat them right. If that career that you're like, "Oh, I'm going to spend my life doing," all of a sudden after it gets less new and less exciting, if you're like, "Oh, I'm going to find something different." Do you know some people every few years, they're switching everything because all they're on is an adrenaline kick from the new thing. They change cars, change jobs, change friends, sometimes change only houses, churches, spouses. They'll change everything because there's an adrenaline kick from something new. And they never go any farther because they don't know how to handle that first phase. And so they just keep changing and living on adrenaline. You could watch people. I learned this from my dad. Watch some people. Every 3 to 5 years, there's major changes in their life. 3 to 5 years, mark it down. Some people come to me, "Pastor, I love you, but you know, it's time for us to move on." And I'll look, "When did you start?" 3 to 5 years, I guarantee it. You know what that tells me? They're just trying to make it past that first phase. They don't know how to handle something long enough in that area. And if something's not of value, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Let me back up and read this verse 14. "You will ever be hearing, never understanding. You will ever seeing but never perceiving, for this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." That word healing means bring wholeness. Notice what happened. Wholeness or healing is available, but before they can have it, experience it, whatever it might be from God, before you can have or experience, you got to turn to Him. You can't turn to Him, let's work backwards, until you have an understanding, a revelation in your heart. You can't have a revelation in your heart until you hear it with your ears. And get on. Do you catch that? And you can't hear it until your eyes are open so you can see it. Yeah. And your eyes are the part that you choose to open or close, which you're willing. But when you begin to catch what God has for you and get an understanding from the Word of God about it and begin to pursue it, all of a sudden you're turning to God and He begins to work in your life and He can fix that marriage, change those finances, improve that career, get you on a new season, amen, and bring you to a whole another place. But number one is, what's your priority? There's people that look like they're in the road, but they're just by the road. They're close enough you think they count, but they don't. There's people who go to church but not really in the church. Yeah. As pastors, we'll count them. But God will look and say, "They're not really there. Don't shout me down. If the work's not a priority to you, if the things of God are not a priority, do you know what happens? You won't make it very far in God's system, which means God's way. You can make it far in the world's way. You know, Jesus said, but without me, you can do nothing. I was talking to a friend, we're like, yeah, you can. You can do a lot of things without Jesus. You can mess up a lot of stuff. You can create, come on, somebody. You can, what do you mean, without me, you can do nothing? What's he talking about? There's a lot of people doing a lot of things. Bill Gates did a lot without Jesus. You couldn't do a lot of things without Jesus. It might not be the right thing. It might not be an eternal thing. It might not be a God thing. See, God will give you success without stress. The world gives you success with an enormous amount of stress. And that's why you wonder why these people who have it all are still doing drugs. What's going on with that? Why are they still depressed? They just made $50 million on TV all the time. And the world gets to watch them emotionally break down. But to do it God's way, you got to keep God a priority. And this carries throughout, and we'll see. So the first one is along the path. Verse 20. The one who receives a seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. We talked about this past Sunday. Opposition is going to come. You begin to pursue God, obey God. You just hope everybody's going to love you, like you. You've been praying. You're seeking God. Your heart's sincere. You're not living in sin. You're doing it right. You're just following God. You know everybody's just going to open the door for you, and it don't happen. You'll have opposition. You're going to have problems. You're going to have disappointment sometimes. And if you're not careful, you get your eyes on people and off of God and allow them to sidetrack you or talk you out of it. Pressure. What was the problem? They were excited about where God was taking them, but they had no roots. How do we solve that? We told you Sunday, when you're running into problems, that's not the time to quit. That's not the time to give up. No. That's the time for you to put your feet down and start planning and say, having done all, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to get in the Word, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You begin to dig deeper in the Word of God. You begin to dig deeper in prayer. You begin to spend more time, not less time in church. You spend more time, not less time praying. You spend more time, not less time worshiping God. You spend more time, not less time listening to the Word and teaching and praying and reading and confessing the Word. You spend more time. Say more time. More time. Come on, shout more time. More time. Come on, I got to get this in. You say more time. More time. Shout it louder. More time. See, I'm going to work you hard on this Wednesday night. Some of you are going to wish you didn't come, but you're going to know you have to do more, not less. Why do I have to put emphasis on that? Because when you go through the storms, you know what people do is less with God and not more. Less at church. Well, I've been going through a hard time. I'm not really wanting to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. I'm not feeling good. Then they broke my heart. I don't want to spend no time in prayer. Why? Because we're being moved by what we are feeling. See, feeling is not faith. People of faith, men and women of faith, aren't moved, the Bible says, by what you feel, hear, or see. Which means I'm going to dig deeper because there's got to be a time of you standing when you don't feel like standing. See, when God talks about us dealing with the devil and fighting because our weapons of our warfare, come on, stick with me, we're doing something tonight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There is a battle you have to deal with. You are not going to make it to the promised land without dealing with the giant. Yeah. 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 You're going to be dealing with some stuff. The devil's going to rear up his ugly head, but he don't show up with a pitchfork. He might show up within your neighbor. He might show up and with your friends. He might show up at work. And all of a sudden you're like, why is this happening? The devil doesn't like you moving forward. He's going to show up. But you ought to be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome. Victory is in Christ. Did you hear me? The Bible says, having done all, stand, right? And it talks about putting on the armor of God. Before it tells you to put on the armor, it says, be strong in the Lord. Let me say that again. Be strong in, let me say it one more time. Be strong. Say, be strong. Be strong. Does it ever say feel strong? Isn't that interesting? It didn't say feel strong. It said be strong. Yeah. When God tells you to charge the giant, when God tells you to jump out of the boat, walk on the water, he doesn't say if you feel like it. Yeah. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where he says, if you feel like it, obey me. Yeah. If you feel like it, go after Goliath. Can you imagine if David said, I could take him, but just not a good moment for me. Welcome back. Peter says, that's you, Lord, call me out of the water too. Come, Peter. Yeah. Oh, I didn't think you were really doing it. I'm not feeling it. Can I get three goosebumps on my left arm? We make decisions in life in following God, and sometimes we make it based on how we feel. You will not make it to the level of what God has for you until you can cross the boundaries of, I'm obeying you, God, because you have revealed something to my heart. I don't feel like doing it, but I'm not moved by what I feel, hear, or see. Since when obedience is tied to faith, it's not tied to feelings. There'll be times God will say, forgive them. I don't feel like forgiving them, but don't ask your feelings. But they did me wrong. Of course they did you wrong. But you deserve to be free from it. You shouldn't have been done wrong. God's not saying that he had a right to do you wrong. It's not saying that you should stay there and let them keep doing you wrong. But forgiveness is a matter of, you did me wrong, but I'm not going to allow you to hold me back. You forgive them, release them, and let God deal with them. But I don't feel it. I didn't say you're going to have a warm and fuzzy and have you want to just get around a warm fire and kumbaya and sit there and roast marshmallows with them and just hug each other. No. You might just, I don't want to talk to them, but that's okay. I'm not worried about what I feel. I'm moving outside of what I feel. Did you hear me? Folks, growing up in the things of God, we have to obey God even when we don't feel like it. When you are in a battle, you're not going to feel a Holy Ghost goosebump. When you're in the battle, you're going to feel all by yourself. When you're in the battle, the devil's messing with your imagination and your thought process. The battle's in the mind frame. When you're in the battle against the enemy, he'll tell you nobody cares. They don't love you. They should have called you by now if they really cared about you. You know, I don't know what the problem is. Yeah, that you're all on your own, and you will feel like you're on your own. When you're in the battle, there's times you're going to think God turned on you. God, I don't feel you. I don't think you're with me anymore. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you have to decide if you're going to believe what he said and take it by faith, or if you're going to believe what he said and take it by feeling. If you take it by feeling, you're going to miss it. Yeah. Did you hear me? Yeah. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. He didn't say you'll know the fact or you'll know an opinion. Opinions is one level. Facts is another level. Truth is a whole nother level. Well, I'm just saying it like it is. That's your opinion. No, I'm telling it's truth. No, it might be fact, but it's still not truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is truth. Oh, okay. We're moving right along. We can go home. I can go eat dinner. Huh? It doesn't matter to me. Y'all. See, they had no root. Come on. I'm telling you, there's times in my life I've been under such an attack of the enemy that all I knew to do is I had to just pump my brain with the word of God and pray in the spirit and listen to worship and keep my routine going and get up and do what I knew to do and never make changes in battles, never make major changes in a storm. When Jesus told him, get in the boat, we're going on the other side, he didn't say, if it's storm, let's turn around. No, we don't do U-turns when the storm's going. We don't make lifelong decisions when it gets hard. Are you with me? If you make lifelong decisions under the pressure of opposition or a storm, then you have told the devil that anytime you begin to pursue God, all he has to do is throw a wrench in the system, a storm, and you'll repent and turn around and stop obeying God. I want you to get to your promised land. I want you to get to your season. I want you to get to that next level that you know that it was all God and not you, and that God has elevated you to a place so that he gets all the glory, and it brings you to a place of influence that you can be a blessing and impact generation after generation. We can't play little games. We want you to get to the big table, amen. We want you to be a world shaker. It's just not, I'm just dealing with me and three. No, God wants you to be able to turn the hearts of many in the name of Jesus. But we have to grow up in the things of God, which means that we have to obey God. And we have to get this audacity on the inside of us. So are you listening to me? That if it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, king, we want you to know that our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, oh man, we gotta stay there. Even if he does, I'll come over here. Even if he chooses not to, we are not changing our destination. We're not changing our opinion. We are not changing the path we're on. See, when you get so caught up and say, God, you set me on this path. Lord, you revealed this path to me, and I am not moving from this path unless you, Father God, show me to take a different path. If you don't show me from your word, if you don't reveal it to my heart, then I'm not worried about problems. This stream's dried up. I'm getting thirsty. The ravens stopped dropping off food. I'm getting hungry, but I'm not moving until God spoke to the prophet and said, now I want you to go over here. Can you imagine? He could say, oh, the stream's driving. That time for me to find another stream. No, he waited until he caught the next vision, caught the next path. So you gotta have audacity that it seems like I'm going through hard. But Lord, if nothing ever goes my way, I'm still gonna serve you. God, if even if you turn on me and tell me I can't even go to heaven, I'm just gonna die, I'm gonna keep serving you. There's times in my life, even growing up with things of God, I felt like God had turned his back on me. And I said it in prayer, just me and God. I said, Lord, I don't care if I feel you. I'm going to hang on to your hand, and you're not getting rid of me. You're not getting rid of me because the devil's telling you God's mad at you trying to get rid of you. That you ought to have the response, he can't get rid of me. I'm hanging on to the hand of Jesus, and I'm not letting go. Why? You're crossing in and moving beyond in the realm so that you're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. You're moved by the word of God. When you start developing that, you're moving a whole nother level. You're developing some roots. And you know the good thing about a root system? A root system's not dependent on the environment. If it rains, great, that's a bonus. If it doesn't rain, I still got a place to get water. If someone brings me food and plants it around me, woo, praise God, thank you. But if nobody does it, it's a famine. I still have a place to get nourishment. Yep. See, if all we're dependent, there's even a spiritual growth in your life. Some people are like, feed me. And if no one's feeding me, I'm getting so hungry. Feed yourself, dig deeper. Sometimes God will let the stuff on the surface dry up so he can get you to dig deeper. Yeah. Man, there's stuff. Are you with me? This is throughout instruction and by example. Even in the Old Testament, in the Ark of the Covenant, and in the temple, they went from in the outer court, they could operate with the light from the sun. Natural light, everybody has access. They went to the inner court, they had to operate with the light from the candles. Something that they could do, but not everybody had access to. But in the holy, most holy place, they could only operate from the light of the glory. There is a place God will take you in this next level that if you can't see the way God wants you to see, you're going down the wrong path. Some of us we're operating with what everybody, when it's sun shining and it rains coming, we need it. Oh, we're blessed. Woo, send the rain, Jesus. Woo, we're blessed. It's good. Everything's just coming our way. But all of a sudden, what happens? What happens if the economy turned into a greater recession? Some of us, we freak out because our whole livelihood is based on the same system that the world system is. And I'm not saying that God, listen to me, I'm not saying that you should not have a secular job. I'm saying that you got to see that God can provide for you if it's that job or another job. Some of us will freak out just like the rest of the world. What if hospitals were so crowded that you had a 6-month wait just to get to see any doctor or nurse? Well, that doesn't matter. I know somebody. They'll give me some drugs. Well, what if the drugs ran out? What if, like the flu shot a few years ago, they found out that they had made them wrong and they were tainted? What if you had no access? Oh, we'd all be in trouble. You would, unless we've learned to dig deeper. And say, I might not have a physical physician on this earth, but I have a spiritual physician. And come on, somebody. Why? Because I want you to grow in the things of God. So your faith is not fluff. Your faith is faith. Some of us think we have faith, and always we got emotional fluff. All right, I'm trying to close. I'm done. I know you had a. You're just like, Pastor, you should be glad I even showed up tonight. You ought to just tell me I'm going to be great and leave me alone. I'm giving the truth that I believe will encourage and build. And are you with me?
Yes.
Notice here, the last part. The one who received seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this world, NIV says, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. This next level, you go from, I didn't get it, so you're not going nowhere. Oh, now I get it, and now I'm dealing with the pressures of getting it. I'm walking this thing out, and the devil's trying to discourage me, intimidate me. But now, once you advance beyond that, where you're determined that you're going to obey God regardless, you know what the devil does? At the second level, he's pushing against you. At the third level, he's pushing behind you. Third level, he's trying to move you into places you don't need to be yet. It's the difference between do you have a throne or do you have a chair? Your throne is the positions of authority that God places designed for you to operate in. A chair is, it looks like a throne, but it's something you created. I'm going somewhere tonight. See, we see this played out even in Jesus, because what did the devil do when he couldn't discourage him and shut him down? He started to offer him another opportunity. See, all the kingdoms of the world, they belong to me, given to me. Anybody I want to give them to, I can do that. Why don't you worship me and I'll give you that? Do you know what happens at the next level? When you get determined to obey God no matter what, the success of victory starts developing, fruit starts developing. In this level, fruit is changed. The fruit of God's word is starting to develop. Change is coming to your life. You are starting to be blessed. You're starting to excel. You're starting to advance. You're starting to get noticed because of what God's doing in your life. And then the devil shows up. He might show up with an opportunity. He might show up with a new dating relationship. Oh, they it must be God. They're so pretty. They're so handsome. Be careful. Devil show up with an idea, opportunity. Are you with me? I'm just talking to you straight. He will show up with stuff that will sidetrack you.
Yeah.
Now catch this. In the first phase, you had to define priority. In this third phase, second phase and third phase, you still have to maintain priority. If you don't understand priority, then you'll start thinking that God wants you to excel just for you. And then you start trying to excel for you. And you begin to serve and work for yourself. But when you keep Jesus number one, you realize God wants you to excel for his glory. The devil will say, why are you trying so hard? You got enough. No, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for him. Do you with? So when you come to those decisions now, not pressure, but unusual or unexpected opportunities that's not from God, because every good idea is not a God idea.
Yeah.
Then if you keep priority number one, Jesus, you're still number one. What do you want me to do? I've seen people take on jobs. It was a great paying job. They were doing well at their current job, but they got a better offer. But the only difference, that offer took them out of state. And they relocated because they just knew it had to be a God idea. See, sometimes, folks, if I can be straight, we make God ideas, what we think is a God idea decision, and we base it on money.
Yep.
When you make major decisions based on dollars, then you've just prostituted your gift and destiny. I'm just being real with you. But they're offering so much money.
Wow.
So, okay. It's like that person that offered, went to a woman and said, if I pay you $50, will you sleep with me? Absolutely not. If I paid you $1 million to sleep with me, will you? Oh, yeah, sure. How about $1,000? No. What do you think I am? We already established that. Now we're just trying to decide the rate. You say that's offensive in church, but let's get real. We prostitute ourselves. When it's all about negotiating, you're like, who do you think I am? Well, wait a minute. We've already established that. If it's based on money. What if they offered you so much money, but you had to do something that was dishonest, illegal? Do you know what happens at this place? The devil will give you opportunities to do things that will be unethical, but will get you to what you think is the destination. Jesus came to be King of Kings. It could look like a shortcut to the plan of God, but it wouldn't be. People sacrifice the destination of God all the time because they're willing to cut corners or do something dishonest or unethical, and they'll justify because the ends justify the means, and it's okay because I'm doing something good. Really? See, God wants us to be like Abraham. God wants us to be like Moses. You know, in Moses, Mount Sinai, God said, all right, Moses, I'm going to let the people go in the promised land, but I'm not going. What did Moses say? If you don't go, I don't go. God sometimes wants to see if you want to stay connected to his DNA or if you just want what he's offering you. Some people say, well, I really love you, Jesus, but oh, see you later. I got my healing, got my blessing, got my raise, got my whatever. Got my marriage, got my spouse, got whatever, and they think that they can get it and leave God alone, but realizing you need God throughout the whole process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
So opportunities will come. That next level opportunities will come, but you've got to keep Jesus, number one, and say, okay, Lord, I need to see this.
Yes.
You know, let me close with one more reference. I know you might be getting, I don't know where we're at on time. I don't have a clock, so the countdown don't mean anything to me now. You got time for one more story?
Yes.
There was, and Jesus was teaching people not to stress out. And he talked about how, he said, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
They neither sow nor they reap, nor can they build barns, which means they can't store up for future. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Think about this. We always take it, oh, isn't that nice? God takes care of the birds. He'll take care of a bird, he'll take care of me. Woohoo, thank you, Jesus. Kumbaya. How does he take care of the bird? Think about it. How does he take care of the bird? Let me give you a few ideas, because Jesus said, look at the birds, which means examine. Number one, he gives them the ability to fly. He gives them ability to do something. How's God going to take care of you? He'll give you ability to do something. Number two, he gives them the ability to see something. They just don't sit in their nests waiting for the hand of God to drop off some worms. UPS doesn't drop off a package and say, here you go. Who's going to sign? Don't happen. He gives them ability to do something, and he gives them ability to see something. So when they fly, he gives them the ability to see what they need. In their flight of doing what they're supposed to do, they begin to have vision to see what they need. They can go back to that verse because they don't see it, which means they don't perceive it. They're not getting understanding. They don't receive it. That way they can't turn and receive what I have for them. God said, I'm going to provide you food. I'm feeding you, bird. I'm feeding you, bird. I love you so much, birds. I created you. I love you so much. One little bird fall tree. I see it, Jesus said. The Father sees it. I'm going to feed my birds. How's he going to feed his birds? I'm going to enable them to fly. I'm going to enable them to see. And I'm going to put out there so they can see what I'm providing. He don't have the worms climb up the tree. But he puts it where the birds can see the worm. He gives them the ability to see. And he gives them the ability to take ownership and claim what they can see. Do you catch that? What will God do? He will awaken you, allow you, when you do what God's given you the ability to do, he will give you the vision to see what you need. And he'll give you, that's an opportunity from God. God will give you the vision to see his opportunities so that you're not caught off on other opportunities. Because that last phase, we can get sidetracked because the devil offers us something almost as good as what God's offering us. Oh, this is quicker, let's do that. But it's not the right that. God will give you vision to see, the ability to do something, the vision to see it, and the opportunity to take advantage of it. Ephesians puts it this way, redeem the time. Redeem the God opportunities for the days are evil. Not every opportunity, the God opportunities, the God moments. So God will show you, and all of a sudden you're like, why do I got this idea? Proverbs says wisdom will give you ideas of witty invention. God will give you invention. You're crying out for more money. God said, here you go. The Old Testament said, they're praying for rain. And said, ask me for rain, God said, and I will send the clouds. See, God will create and send to you what produces the result. He didn't say, I'll send rain. He said, I'll send clouds. We're praying for more money and complaining about overtime. But God will give you the vision. I'm praying that God will open your eyes and you begin to receive the vision to see the God opportunity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for anointing on the eyes of your people. Just like you said, Jesus, this is not for everybody. Not everybody's going to see. Not everybody's going to hear. Not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to respond. And not everybody's going to receive. But Father God, you've called us to, as your children, to see. I thank you. You've called us to respond. And you've called us because we see and respond to receive in the name of Jesus. There it is. So Father, I ask for your grace, your anointing by the Holy Spirit to be upon our eyes, to be upon our ears, to be upon our hearts, to be upon our hands. Father, anoint us. We plead and apply the blood of Jesus that as we go through the journey of life doing what you've called us to do, you will let us see with clarity. That's what we're asking for, Father. Clarity of insight, clarity of vision, clarity of understanding, so that we will know that those doors are not from you, but that door is the door you want us to walk through. That opportunity is a God opportunity. Those opportunities, though look good, are not from you, so that we will stay on the right path and fulfill and finish that journey and that race in the name of Jesus. And I call for that to be upon the lives of your people right now, and let it stay with them, Father God, even more than this moment or tonight, in the days ahead. Let them begin to see what you have provided so they can respond and receive from you. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.